Today on The Grave Talks, The Haunted Boyd House, a conversation with owner Jill Shelley. Boyd, Minnesota is a small town, a very small town. In 1920, though, it was booming with a population of 529 people. Today, there are 175 residents and one very haunted house, the Boyd House. What happened in the home? What secrets lie behind the walls? And who is haunting the home? I'm Carol Hughes, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, a conversation about the history and the hauntings of the Boyd House with owner Jill Shelley. Jill, thank you so much for being on this episode today. I'm really excited to talk about this house. You actually were looking to buy a haunted house.
Yes, I was. I'm crazy like that.
I find that fascinating. So let's talk a little about you, because you actually were a paranormal investigator. My guess is you still are.
Oh, yeah. You can't give that up. You're kind of like once you're hooked on that, that's all you do. But yeah, so I've been an investigator myself for probably 14 years or so now. My paranormal team, St. Croix Paranormal, was formed in 2010. And we just started out by doing private homes and businesses. And then we started branching out and going to well-known haunted locations. And by doing that, that's kind of where I got the idea that'd be really cool to have my own haunted location. And so in 2018, financially, I was able to pursue that dream. And so I went on the hunt and happened to find the Boyd House. And there's rest is history.
And looking at the map, it looks like Boyd, Minnesota is like 150-ish miles west of Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Yeah, it's in the southwest corner, so okay. About 145 miles southwest of the Twin Cities. Okay. We're also just like an hour from Brookings, South Dakota. So we're really tucked away in the south corner. Not much there. You just kind of drive through a lot of cornfields and then poof, there's the town and then that's it.
And then poof, it's gone because there's yes. Not much down there. Because its heyday is over. Its heyday was 529, it sounds like.
Yeah, that was back in the 1900s. You know, it was just this booming Wild West town. You know, they had bars and restaurants and just, you know, hotels and billiards and blacksmiths and just, you know, every drugstores, grocery stores, creameries. I mean, it was huge. It was just right on the edge of town. The train tracks run still to this day right behind the Boyd property. So it was a big railroad town as well. So we have a lot of pictures that you can see. Where, you know, it's just basically the old Wild West where the horses are tied outside with the wagons and that type of thing. The Boyd House itself was right on the edge of town. Like literally you could just put steps over and you would have been in the middle of town. The blacksmith was across the street from it back in the day. And then the Boyd House itself was also the first house to have indoor plumbing. So it's got a little bit of history there. And also that the Sioux Dakota reservation line butts right up to the edge of town, too. So I'm sure there's a lot of history that we don't know about that happened.
I bet. When you were looking to buy a haunted house, did you look at quite a few? And how did your realtor approach that? Were they like, I'm trying to find some haunted locations for you. It's a little hard. They're not quite listed like that. You know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and haunted. It doesn't usually say that.
No, it doesn't. I'm not saying I'm psychic or anything, but I do have a pretty good intuition and kind of get a feel for stuff. So I would just kind of do the searching on the MLS and you know, put my criteria in. If I got a feel for it, I would just go do like a mini investigation. And so we went to several places and even, you know, including a church and things like that. But my realtor knew what I was doing, so she was fine. Actually, she just stayed outside the whole time.
Of course she did.
I did my thing and was just, you know, there to do paperwork and such. But, so it was pretty much just kind of getting a feel for, finding the Boyd House, but it was kind of when I found it, it was kind of like it had that, you know, this is the one feeling. And I almost kind of just started really obsessing about the photos before I even got to come look at the place. When I got there, the realtor was running late, so we were just sitting outside. I brought one of my teammates with me, and we were just kind of sitting there. And she's like, "Hey, do you kind of feel like someone's staring at you?" And that we're like, "Yeah," through the attic window. So like, you really felt like somebody was looking at you. We went in there, and you could kind of feel like somebody was there, but they were kind of like kind of from a distance. And we did get, we were running a spirit box, and we did get a woman say, "Who are you?" Which is pretty relevant since nobody's been in the house for about a year. And, now it's like, I'm in there, I'm talking to her, the stranger. So that would be a legitimate question to answer. And then we also had one of our pieces of equipment, a REM pod. We put that up in what's now we've turned into the library. And that started going off within about 8 minutes of being there. So I decided, let me just reach out to a psychic that I trust. And she said, "Oh gosh, yeah, there's like six spirits there. There's a couple of women, there's children, there's a man there." And then she kind of told me a whole bunch of other stuff about the house that came true as I got to know a little bit more history and things about the house. And then I thought, well, I'll just I could reach out to the owners because they lived here for 30 years. There must have been something. They surely would have had something. They were a little hesitant to talk about it because they were an older couple. And that generation is, if you talk about ghosts or anything, you're crazy. But she did say that she always would hear like old time music playing. And she thought the house was always a little off. And we reached out and talked to her children. A couple of them still live in the neighborhood. And they had several experiences in the house. They would see a man. People would spend the night. They would get touched. So just a lot of different things that they had happen. It wasn't like extremely super active, but they were getting stuff. It's just until we came along that we encouraged the behavior. So
what you've done with it, I think, is brilliant, number one, because you can rent this out. It's basically a haunted Airbnb.
Correct.
You can go in and stay, and you can take your own equipment. You can do your own investigations. I think that is a brilliant idea. Not that I'm going to do it, Jill, but it is a great idea.
Yeah. And we also, for those, I would say 90% of people who come to the house are paranormal teams that come together and bring their own equipment. But we do provide some stuff there for people who just want to go for the experience. So, it's nothing that's the top of the line equipment. It's pretty much stuff I don't use anymore, things that are a little bit outdated, but at least, it still works. And at least you feel like you're doing something and getting some interaction. So we do provide that for some of our guests as well.
I have to ask, the 175 residents of Boyd, Minnesota, I'm going to guess the word got out pretty quickly that someone came in to buy that house because it was haunted. Have you had any interest from the community or feedback from them at all?
Or it's did, a 50,
or maybe 50. Maybe they had stories to share.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's a 50-50. You got some that are like, it's not haunted. And then you got other ones that will come up and tell you stories of things that they've seen in the windows or things that they experienced when they were in this house before. So just a lot of different things. I do know, like, when a lot of times, the teams are out there taking photographs and things like that. And, it's a small town. So of course, you see somebody new, you want to go over and talk to them. So, the community seems pretty welcoming and, they're open to talking to the people who are passing through. And, we've been in, like I said, open since 2018. Everybody's been very respectful who comes to the house. And so I think, we don't allow drugs or alcohol or parties and nobody over, eight people in the house, so the community appreciates that it's not a house like that.
Seriously, if you are investigating paranormally, you are quiet.
Oh, yes, yes. And everything, lights are off.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like nobody's there.
It's like everybody's in bed.
That's right.
Once in a while, you might see a little light somewhere, and then that's about that. So they'd be great to come and stay at the house. So let's go back in the history of this house. So it was built in 1901. Is that correct?
Yeah, 1901. Our deed goes back to 1889, though, when it was owned by the St. Louis Minneapolis Railroad. Then one of the telling people about it, kind of sectioned it off, went through a couple different people, you know, nothing significant with the families. But 1912 is when Fred and Minnie Eckert and their family moved into that home. And they were very well-respected business people. Fred owned a kind of high-end grocery store. So they sold like high-end shoes, fur coats. They made their own bologna. They were just more of a top-of-line all-over store. They, you know, they carried everything. And he was also on the fire department. He helped build the Lutheran church. He was on the school board. So very, very well-respected man in town. He and Minnie both died in the house, and Minnie's funeral was actually held in the home for 3 days. And then two of her children passed away in the house, one at infancy. And then she also had David, who I believe was between 3 and 5 years of age, and he choked to death in the house.
That's
very tragic that that had happened. And then the only other confirmed death that we know of that's on the books is another lady in the 70s, and she just passed away of, you know, I'm assuming heart attack or something. She was older, so nothing tragic that happened. But we've had a few people say there's some other deaths in that house that you're not going to find on the records, like people who have passed away from tuberculosis and things like that. So, you know, unfortunately, they don't keep great records back in the day, so... but that's kind of what we found in, you know, as far as the history of the house.
Now, was the house pretty much continually inhabited from when the Eckert family lived there up until shortly before you bought it, which would be pretty amazing in a town that size? A house like that could sit empty easily.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there's always been occupants in the house. So, and they've all stayed pretty good. There's like one lady, I think, only stayed 2 years, but I heard she actually got robbed. She was very wealthy and had a lot of things shipped over from, she was from another country. I can't remember what country, but a lot of the things she had were shipped over from that country, worth a lot of money. And people got wind of that, and somebody broke in and robbed her and tied her up in the closet. So she moved out. She was probably the shortest person that lived there. But the family I purchased the house from actually spent 30 years in the home.
Which is a long time, you know, because when the Eckert family lived there, they were there about 40. And then so in this whole history, it's really been inhabited for the most part by a couple families.
Right, right. So, yeah, just, you know, not a ton of change of hands. But I also kind of feel that also with the railroad, that tends to draw some, a little bit of energy into the house. I also think by doing what we're doing, I wouldn't say that we've created a portal, but we've kind of created more of a beacon and more of an energy for more spirits to come. Also, because, you know, it is a haunted house, we have to put haunted objects in there. So some of the dolls and things that we have are supposedly haunted. And I cannot verify for sure that they are, but we do get some strange interactions with certain dolls and things like that. So, you know, we put that into the mix. And as we were talking earlier, we tried to bring the house back to the 1900s. So a lot of the furniture we have in there is original, all antiques. You know, we frequent the stores quite often. So we use that to furnish. So there could be some energies with some of the things or attachments as well.
You know, you just mentioned something that I never really thought about before, but since you've created this place, you know, with, for a long time, it's just families living in that house. And now it's people coming in looking for the energies, looking for spirits. So it kind of would, it makes sense that stirring that up could maybe bring in some spirits or the haunted objects. With your history, have you found that to be the case? The more people investigate a place or look into something, does that kind of stir up those spirits?
Well, yeah, because you are creating some sort of energy. And that's what spirits are attracted to, all the energy. And, you know, it's just when you're doing spirit box things, it's kind of as they're out, I don't know if you can explain, like, if they're out and about and they just kind of go, oh my gosh, somebody's running a spirit box session, I'm going to tune in. They're like, because they're created and attracted to the, like, the waves, you know, it's not like they're like, ooh, someone's running a spirit box session, but they're, you know, attracted to the waves that
I
are going
to sit
out.
In.
Yeah. And then they realize what's going on. There's been plenty of places where I'm like, do you live here? Or are you just passing by? And they'll say passing by.
That's so interesting.
And we know that, spirits travel. Some can mm-hmm. come and go, you know, some are stuck where they're at. Some choose to be where they're at. So it's just, you know, we all just go on a theory of why this goes on, you know, why some can and why some can't. Everything's just a theory. You just never know what you're going to get sometimes. And I think sometimes people too can have attachments to them and they're just dragging things along wrong with themselves as well.
Well, then bringing in those dang dolls.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's funny when you mentioned the attic, because if you go to their website, it was boydhouse217.com.
Yep. Boydhouse217.com.
So when I'm looking through the pictures, I was like, oh, that looks really nice. I like that. And I was wondering if it was original or if you guys had gone in and done that. But when I got to the attic picture, I literally got a chill when I looked at the attic picture. And I thought, well, it must be the little doll buggy. It looks like doll-sized buggy. It looks like a small one, but maybe it's not. But I thought, okay, it has to be the buggy. Just gave me the creeps. But there was something about that attic picture when I looked at that. Is that?
Oh yeah, that's a fun spot up in the attic. You know, we kind of make it the creepy factor. You know, we put like a couple rocking chairs up there.
Exactly.
And, just the baby buggy. We also have like an old steamer trunk up there as well. So just kind of some fun little things up in the attic. But you know, we'll hear like audible voices up in the attic. I know one time my team was up there and I went down to get something and all of a sudden they just heard this woman go, yoo-hoo, like plain as day in the attic. Just trying to get their attention. So they heard that and people have gotten touched up there and a lot of equipment interaction up in the attic. So yeah, you just get different things up there.
So she died in the home. He died in the home. Two children died in the home. So
yes.
Do you feel like it can be members of that family are still there? That
oh yeah, we definitely get like EVPs or things being said that Fred's here, Fred's coming. And then just things that Minnie is there as well. Because when we've used equipment to ask if it's Minnie, it'll respond into the yes that this is Minnie. So we have kind of confirmation on that. And then we do get a lot of childlike behavior, which couple of them that we feel are more of a like preteen type kids, because we often get like a boy that sounds like, you know, maybe 10, 11 years old. We get him quite often. You know, one time we were playing a game and he said, oh, game over. When we were done, I got an EVP of that. So he was kind of sad that the game was done. And then I've heard him in the closet when I've opened the door. It says, don't hurt me.
Oh, that upsets me.
So, and I have had a couple psychics, which is interesting that, you know, I don't really tell anybody anything about the house. I always like to just see what they say. And they just said that they felt like there was a boy and a girl, and the girl's his sister watches over him because she's older. He's been abused and he's scared, so he hides a lot, which really coincides with a lot of things that I have found. Which most of the time, you know, when I get him, it's usually because he's hiding somewhere and I stumble upon him is usually when I get his voices as well. But I've also audibly heard children's voices in the house too, as well as, women. I've heard women's voices too, and cabinets banging in the middle of the night. I've heard that because we have the old 50s kitchen, you know, it's got the old metal doors and stuff on it. So that's you definitely know when that's banging.
Oh, and that's definitely a distinct sound.
Yeah. And we've had a couple people, paranormal team called Knops. They've captured actually two shadow figures running through the kitchen that I believe are the two preteen kids just based on the height. And you kind of see one go and then a second one go. And they're just running across in the kitchen, which a lot of people see shadow figures in the kitchen. I hear a lot of noise and rustling around in the kitchen very early in the morning as well. So the kitchen can be a pretty active location as well.
Kind of makes some sense because it's an active location in a house.
Right, so. Right. Especially back then. And usually, like I said, when I hear this stuff, it's really early in the morning. And if that makes sense, because they're probably up getting things ready. So because they had to get out, they had to get up and go to work. So early risers back in the day. So
with your background in paranormal investigations, and you have multiple spirits in a house, they can kind of come and go. Do the spirits themselves, once again, we'll never know 100% for sure. I'm just asking what you feel. Do you feel like they interact with each other? Do they know each other's there? Are they aware of each other or kind of stay away from each other?
Oh, I definitely, with all my research and stuff, that you definitely, they do interact with each other. And then I've asked them that they meet new people as well. So, you know, it's just kind of like, I guess, our world, you know, we interact with people, we meet new people. So kind of same on the spirit side is what I've gathered in some of my research as well. So yeah, it's really fascinating that, you know, the whole paranormal and how they all interact and connect. But we've had, you know, things on the spirit box where they're like, oh, you have to watch out for Mary. Okay, here she's coming. She's mean, you know, and so then that person just, you know, shuts down because here comes this other mean person. So yeah, it's just crazy that they do interact though.
And it always makes me sad when I hear about child ghosts, because especially this case with this little boy who apparently or possibly had been abused, you just want them to be able to move on and be at peace.
Yeah. And, you know, it is sad, but I guess for me, I try to make it as pleasant if he's going to be stuck there for him as possible. So we spent a lot of time with our spirits talking to him and getting to know him, and they ask for things. And so they get lots of presents.
What do they ask for?
Well, Luke, who's a little bit older, he's 8. He asked for shoes. So he wanted a pair of blue shoes. He even told us what size. He's like size 6 blue shoes. So we got him a pair of those. They just different toys, you know, like cars and boats, and one wanted an elephant once. And yeah. And then, things that we, you know, we've asked, like Fred and Minnie, we haven't gotten much, on that, but we bring them things I feel like they're attracted. So for some reason, I feel like Fred likes birds, so I'll buy like bird things. And I do know he liked to garden, so we buy him stuff like that. One of his grandsons still lives in town, so we learned a lot personal things that we would never find in books about the Eckhart family. So we know like Minnie loved ferns, and so we brought her a fake fern that's up on a shelf for her. So she really likes that. Cause when we bring them new stuff, we'll put equipment by it and just say, if you really like this stuff, can you light it up? And usually they do.
Really?
So it's kind of fun.
So when you take something in, especially to the children, the younger spirits, I would think they would be more excited about it because children are. You know, the older Fred and Minnie, they've had everything they needed in their home. The little kids always want stuff. Do you find that the objects move or you get response when you bring them in?
More so like we'll get like the toys, we'll get like maybe some movement or stuff, but it, you know, depending on what it is, sometimes it's a toy you have to touch to make it work. So we'll get kind of that interaction, but for the most part, we will just put like a piece of equipment next to it that'll indicate that there's a spirit by it. Because sometimes, you know, if you just buy in a stuffed dog or something, it doesn't do anything. Right. So we would never know if they touched it or if they liked it. We did actually have a new puppy that we got. You know, if you touch him, he'll bark and start walking. Now they didn't touch him that night, but they did say that they really liked the new puppy and they thought it was really cute and soft. So they were talking about it. So they do watch and see what's going on. And I do know the kids really like to play and interact with people. So they have fun.
I think it's interesting because it's almost like you have a relationship with them.
I do.
You know, by taking them gifts and just talking to you like you care about them.
Oh, I totally do. I kind of feel like they're my other family too. You know, I spent a lot of time, like, so it took us, you know, a couple of months before we started actually open up to the paranormal for other people to come in. So I spent a lot of time talking to them, just kind of explaining who I was, what I was doing, what's going to happen with the house. And then we kind of talked about what equipment was and how it works, because this is all new. They don't understand. They do now, so you can call it what it is. But if you kind of think about it, if I have this thing with an antenna that makes noise and flashes lights, and you are from the 1900s, this kind of looks kind of scary. So,
yeah,
you know, they're not, you know, they don't really understand what it is. They don't know if they should touch it. So we spent a lot of time going over that. I just talk to them all the time. I have my favorite EVP I ever caught is I was doing some cleaning and I was talking as I was cleaning. I was just like, oh, I'm going to a wedding this weekend. Have you been to a wedding? You know, I was just going on and on. Like it was like nonstop talking. And because of that, I kind of drowned out some of something, but I got an older woman and she said something and then I quit talking. And then she said, I'm trying to sleep. So here, you know, I'm just rambling away and this woman's trying to take a nap and I'm bothering her. So,
but the wedding, I thought you might be interested in it. Just making small talk. I don't have to. And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the haunted Boyd House with owner Jill Shelley. If you would like more information on the home as well as staying in the home, go to their website, boydhouse217.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it 3 days absolutely free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, all ad free. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes. Thanks for listening.